It's here, the episode you've all been waiting for. Prepare for episode 500.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for hitting play on this milestone episode and deciding to learn from our inspiring guests. This is one of our top tips expert guest mashup episodes, but to celebrate episode 500, we are going to be doing it a little bit differently. So we are asking a hot question. We are asking all our guests, what's your top tip to make an e-commerce store more profitable? Yep, I know it's what you're all trying to do at the moment. Do more with less and all that good stuff. Well, we are packed. Ram-packed in this episode with advice for you on that. Every single tip giver, every single one of our guests in this episode is a past guest. There's someone who's done a whole episode with us in the past. And we put links to those episodes in the show notes for you. So feel free to dive deeper later if you want to. And I sent invites out to every single person we've interviewed in the past from episode one right up to last week to encourage them all to come back for this very special episode. Now, almost all our guests today are brand side. Normally for our top tip episodes, we use supplier side experts, but this time we've gone almost exclusively brand side and we've packed in 20 of them. 20 guests! So yeah, this is definitely by almost double the biggest top tips episode we've ever done. Completely fitting for episode 500, I think. Now, that obviously risked making this an insanely long episode. And there was a point at which someone was suggesting quite strongly that I do a 500 tip episode, which none of us needed that much e-commerce master plan podcast to listen to. So we didn't do that, but we have done 20. So to avoid making this a completely insanely long episode, we've tweaked how we put all those tips together to get the timing a little bit tighter for you all. So it's going to come thick and fast when we get into the tips, I promise you. A huge thanks to all our guests for this episode and congratulations to them as well, because we had over 175 people asking and offering to be part of this episode. That's mad, isn't it? That's like so cool that so many people wanted to be a part of this, and so cool that we got to pick our very favourite tips, our very favourite past guests to bring this all together for you. Now, whilst we're on the numbers, I figure you can't do episode 500 without sharing a couple of crazy stats, crazy stats about this podcast. So whilst this might be episode 500 by the numbers, last week was episode 499, it's actually the 537th MP3 file we've released on the show. Why a different number? Well, because I had some very strange ideas about episode numbering and for the first couple of years. You'll find some A's, some B's, some dash fives, all sorts of weird stuff going on early on. In our very first episode, we published that on the 12th of June 2015, which is over 9 years ago, or 109 months ago. It's like almost a lifetime ago. I have nieces who are younger than this podcast. How mad is that? In that time, we've released over 270 hours of content, which means if you hit play on episode zero today, you would be listening constantly for over 11 days to hear it all in one go. Do not try that at home. That is a terrible idea. You need sleep. but by all means, you know, I know there's some of you who do go back to the beginning and work your way through them all again. So I know some of you doing it, but don't try and do it in 11 days. And all of you lovely listeners have listened to episodes over 730,000 times, which is over 42 years worth of listening, which is almost as old as I am. That's mind-boggling, but so cool. So I thought I'd share those crazy numbers with all of you. And thank you all for spending so much time with me and our guests. You are the people we create the show for, so it's brilliant to know you're tuning in and loving it. Shopify recently turned the tables on me and took me from interviewer to interviewee. Knowing as they do that the most successful retailers today are those that bridge the gap between online and offline and make it a seamless experience, Shopify wanted my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, particularly in the key areas of local selling, omnichannel selling, and cross-border selling. You can read my thoughts along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify and downloading the report. That's ecmp.info/Shopify. One last thing to let you know before we get into these top tips to make your e-commerce store more profitable. In this episode, as I said, you are going to hear from 20 people sharing their tips. We've actually, though, gathered 500 tips. Yep, episode 500, 500 tips. And you can get all of them for free in the brand new ebook we've put together to celebrate today's milestone. You can get that at ecmp.info/500. So that's ecmp for e-commerce master plan .info/500. So ecmp.info/500. And yes, you're very welcome to pause, go there, download it now before coming back and hitting play again. Normally in a Top Tips episode, I give you my thoughts between each and every tip and introduce you to our guests. But as we've got 20 of them, the tips alone are over 30 minutes at full speed. I've batched them up into groups for you and got all our guests to introduce themselves. So we're going to kick off with, we're finally getting into a tip. We are going to kick off with Mike and Lucy. Mike is getting into the fundamentals of it all and Lucy is sharing five killer tactics for improving profits.
My name is Mike Stevens. I am the author of the Direct-to-Consumer Playbook. I'm also a serial founder and consultant for Challenger Brands. And here is my top tip. You're going to get loads of tips all about some brilliant things like SEO, marketing strategy, how to build teams, how to budget. And all other things are really relevant. But there is one thing you all need to do first, and that is focused on your product market fit. If your product market fit doesn't work, then everything else you do is not going to work either. In my experience, good product market fit is more important than strategy, runway, and even teams. You have to make sure you're solving a big unmet need or doing it better, cooler, cheaper than what's already out there. And if you can't do that, you're going to struggle whatever you do. Teams with a fantastic product market fit are often all over the place behind the scenes, but yet they're still winning. This is because, despite the chaos, they are winning because they are too busy just getting products out the door because there is just natural demand for what they do. They haven't got time to worry about structure or streamlining or reporting or processes. They are just focusing on meeting a need with their amazing products. The opposite of that is well-oiled machines with great teams, great founders, great processes and really nice products, but with no market demand, they aren't going to work because no matter how good the product is or the teams are, without demand, there's just no point. Those businesses, they're destined to either pivot or die. So my advice to all new brands is focus first on ensuring you're meeting a big unmet need. And if your products don't do that, then you have to change them up. But if you do get this bit right, you'll have time to figure out everything else you hear about on this podcast. So good luck out there. And don't forget, product market fit.
Hi, I'm Lucy Jeffrey from Bearkind. And my top tip is, it's very easy to get bogged down in the economics of your e-commerce store itself. AOVs, CACs, ROAS, etc. flying around. But it's the basics that you need to get right. And there have been a few crucial levers that we have pulled over the last few years to swing our profits in a favourable direction. The first is charging customers for shipping. Seems obvious, but for a while we were letting customers have free shipping and actually it crippled us during the postal strikes. And customers don't necessarily expect to get free shipping unless they are spending over a certain amount. So we allow customers to have free shipping if they spend just over our average order value in the hope that it will bump that AOV up. We've learned that customers want options, so especially at Christmas, we have plenty of postal options with tracked, next day, etc. But we just charge them for it rather than take a hit to our margins. The second thing we've done is adding on three new manufacturers, so we've reduced our cost of goods down by about 40%, and it's given us more bargaining power on payment terms. So we now have manufacturers in multiple countries, which reduces our risk and is much more favourable on price, but also allows us to move around based on lead times. So if we need urgent stock, we have a supplier who's faster but more expensive. However, for longer lead times on larger orders, we can go for a better price. So we don't have that kind of flexibility if we were to just stick with one supplier. The third thing is we moved fulfillment warehouses and increased our margins in doing so. This is a great one. Take some time to review your largest cost items on your P&L. Stock is one of ours, postage and fulfillment is the second, and then wages. So take your biggest cost items and review if you can reduce costs in those, because sometimes they are the biggest levers you can pull instead of trying to desperately get more sales in. Focus on getting more profitable sales in. The fourth is we've increased our RRP every year marginally. This felt natural for us with the cost of everything increasing, so we weren't going for massive jumps. We've now hit the £9.99 per pair of socks, and I don't really want to break out of the under £10 category, so we will try and stick at this price if we can. And the fifth thing is we bundle up our products and make gift boxes and mystery boxes to make our slower selling stock sell faster. So mystery boxes were a huge leverage item for us last year. We started them in August, which is typically our slowest month of sales, and they went bananas. So we trialed running them in a few months after that, but the enthusiasm died down. So we took them off sale, and now we bring them back now and then so people don't tire of them. And they're always a good way of moving some slower selling stock and getting those larger orders in. Honestly, the list could go on, but these have been five really crucial ones, some of them massive projects, but I feel we spent a year in the hamster wheel trying to improve sales by X percent when actually the smart move was to reduce costs first.
Wow, what a way to start. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Lucy. Now, pulling all of this together has been really, really fascinating. Such a mix of different types of answers we've had, which I suppose isn't really surprising, because if you want to improve your profits and create the best business you can, you have to take care of both the big stuff and the little things too. A huge theme from all the responses has been that you need to really look after your customers. That's come through loud and clear. So here's Christine, Jay with the stats on it, James with a super cool way to track it, and Gary with a set of customer happiness and customer experience tips for increasing those profits.
Hi, I'm Christine Nicholson from Nicholson Hall Advisory Limited. And my top tip for making an e-commerce business more profitable is understand your customers better than anybody else and make the user experience as friction-free as possible. So what do I mean about friction-free? Well, when you set everything up, you did from the perspective of being experienced. You've already built up some knowledge about e-commerce. It's likely that you're an e-commerce user. So the best advice I can give about the user experience being friction-free is get someone who doesn't normally use e-commerce sites. See how easily they can find your business, work out how to make a purchase, see how few clicks there are. From going onto your website to making a purchase needs to be literally as smooth as possible. There's a reason why Amazon's one-click option is so successful. Zero friction. I'm there to buy something. I've identified what I want to buy. Click, I want it now. So my second tip is, and this is a bit cheeky, buy Chloe's books. When I started my first e-commerce business, Chloe's books were a lifesaver for me. I had no background or experience, and she taught me through her books, literally from the bottom to the top. So much so that when I first met Chloe at an e-commerce conference, I felt like I knew her. She just thought I was some random, strange stalker lady. Anyway, I hope that helps. Congratulations on 500 episodes. See you soon.
Hi, I'm Jay from Launch Performance Marketing, and my top tip is to prioritize customer happiness to improve profits. In 2024, we surveyed 250 CMOs across the UK and USA to find out how customer happiness and marketing effectiveness are connected. Our aim was to understand whether a customer-first approach drove long-term profit for business. Here are the things that we uncovered. For example, only 34% of CMOs place responsibility for customer happiness on every team. That indicated to us that many organisations are not capitalising on the potential of creating happy customers. Yet, more happy customers equals less returns, higher average order values, higher customer lifetime value, and increased brand advocacy, amongst many of the benefits. The takeaway here was that if you make customer happiness a KPI for every team and have the board report on this as a key business metric, you're more likely to succeed. The next top tip was that companies that were reporting the highest ROAS from their advertising used as many as 7 tracking methods to measure customer happiness. That signified to us that better ROI comes from advanced knowledge of customer metrics. The takeaway is invest in the measurement of your customer happiness to give proper, meaningful data and create insights that can influence your business decisions. Our final tip was that 35% of CMOs acknowledge that prioritizing customer acquisition over retention is a barrier to driving customer happiness through performance marketing. The takeaway here was that knowing the balance between acquisition and retention is important. Task your marketing teams to report on performance of both and identify how the two goals can be linked through a better customer journey experience.
Hello, my name is James Gedd and I am the director and owner at Digital Juggler, an independent e-commerce consultancy. So my top tip for e-commerce is to measure customer experience with a sensible CSAT, customer satisfaction metric, and the one I'm pulling out is MPS. MPS surveys can be implemented on the order confirmation page for an e-commerce store and also then sent out in the order confirmation email to maximize your total response. What it does is it asks people to rate how likely they are to recommend you to friends or family based on their experience today. When you do this at point of purchase, you can gauge how satisfied people are with your online customer experience, which is really, really useful because you can then push that data into analytics platforms as well. And then you can do future analysis based on how much does the scoring correlate to, like, you know, repeat purchasing or even orders values, etc. Really, really useful. The other thing that it helps you to identify what are called detractors. So the MPS is a rating of like 0 to 10. Normally, the default of setting is that 9 or 10 score is considered someone who's a promoter. So they actually like you and they're willing to talk about you. Someone who's got 7 or 8 is considered neutral. So they haven't had a bad experience, but they haven't had an amazing one. And anyone 6 or below is considered a detractor. If you can identify detractors and specifically those with really low scores, you can prioritize customer service action to fix issues and therefore turn unhappy customers into future promoters, which increases your chance of repeat purchase rates. The other thing that you can do is because everyone likes to send out review emails to customers, and normally you'd maybe send this, you know, 1 or 2 weeks after an order's been dispatched, the person's got the product, they've had time to use it. If you can identify people who are not happy, and then fix that issue prior to your review email going out, it increases the chances of getting a stronger aggregate rating, which we all know from a social proof point of view is really good. So NPS surveys can help you change your behavior to customers based on their rating and their level of satisfaction, which does help CX strategies and it helps with retention. The other thing you should then do is send a follow-up NPS survey several weeks after the product's been delivered, because now you upfront you're measuring the on-site experience, their purchase. Then you measure post-delivery, the satisfaction with the shipping service, but also with the product to find out if something's changed. Because if somebody goes from a promoter to a detractor, you need to fix that issue and find out why, because that would reduce their chance of going on to place another purchase if they're now really dissatisfied. Equally, if somebody's suddenly really happy, maybe you want to push things like your loyalty or referrals. So the beautiful thing with CSAT is it's fluid. It changes and you can react to it, but you can only do so if you are measuring it accurately and consistently.
Hi, my name is Gary Amstutz from Sticker and Label SA, and my top tip is to focus more on the entire customer experience than the product or products that we are selling. I think the e-commerce space has got incredibly competitive and we can no longer just focus on the widget that we're selling. Hopefully some of us are doing some personalized and customized work as well, which obviously gives us a slightly better USP. But the important thing is to really focus on that entire customer experience. So you create an army of advocates and give someone that warm, fuzzy feeling when they're placing an order on your site, which makes them want to order again and tell the whole world about your product and service.
Christine, I promise I never thought you were a stalker, but I am loving that cheeky little promo for my own books. Thank you. Catch up soon. Okay, something we're going to see increasingly linked to customer experience in the coming years, and something which can have a very nice impact on profit, is sustainability. No, really, it can improve your profits. And Adam is joining us to share some great advice on this front.
Hi, my name is Adam Bastock, and I'm from Spool99, and my top tip is to focus on sustainability. This comes in two halves. There's your internal and external sustainability strategy. And really, if we're looking internally, this starts to become an efficiency drive and helps you become a leaner, greener business. If you're using less packaging that's being thrown away or smaller packaging that's more appropriate, not only is your carbon footprint going to be lower because you're using less material, your costs are also going to be lower because you're not buying in as much product or as much cardboard or whatever it might be as much as you need to. Cutting carbon and looking at ways to effectively reduce your carbon footprint is often going to come with cost-saving exercises and therefore is going to increase your profit margins with a story to tell. And that's really the key part, is that externally, telling your customers what you're doing on that is going to be a really effective way to try and win them over and stand apart from the competition. Climate anxiety and sustainability is not going to go anywhere. It's an industry that's only going to be growing over the next 5-10 years. And therefore, the more that you can align and tell a story that is going to help your customers feel better about themselves and better about their lives, the more likely it is that they are going to start buying with you because you're addressing that emotional need. You're helping them feel better about what they're doing with their lives in a world and in an industry that feels otherwise incredibly overwhelming. And therefore, if you can take what you're doing internally and weave that into a really compelling sustainability story that you can tell with confidence on your website, even if that includes small things like making sure that you're using the right size boxes for the packaging or that you're choosing the right couriers for it to be delivered with at the end, all of that adds up into a really big, powerful story for you to tell that it's quite likely, in my experience, your competitors are saying absolutely nothing about and therefore is a real good point of difference and a good way for you to outcompete your competitors.
Loving that take from Adam. And as Adam touched on, a great way to increase profits is to decrease costs. Several of our tipsters have some very nice advice on cutting costs. Here's Kathleen, Stephen with a super cheeky suggestion, and Anthea with a great tip for cost cutting as well.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Sullivan Garman from Sully Garman & Associates. We are consultants to the e-commerce industry for supply chain, logistics, operations, and technology. Our top tip is that sales and marketing are going to drive your revenue and operations is going to drive your profit. Keep a close eye on your operations. That starts with location. It's about effective management. Where are your products stored? Do you use a 3PL distributors? Do you self-fulfill? How far away are they from where you manufacture or ship? How far away are they from your customers? How far are you shipping? It's really important to analyze all of your metrics end to end for your products, from where you manufacture them to the final mile to the customer, and make sure that you are making decisions that will optimize your profits. You can lose all your profits with a bad choice in shipping. You need to control and reduce your costs and meet your customers where they are, as well as control your storage costs. So location, location, location is the best way to optimize your profits.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sashin, co-founder and chief barefoot officer at Zero Shoes. And my top tip is this. Whenever somebody wants money from you, whether it's for a marketing endeavor or equipment or anything, ask, is that the best price you can give me? And then don't say a word for at least 10 seconds. The anxiety that creates in the vendor will often inspire them to give you a much better deal.
Hello, my name is Anthea Morris from Better to Know. My top tip is a finance one. Please check what you pay for card transaction charges. Not all providers are the same, and their fees will eat into your profits. Make sure the payment area of your site is 3D secure, as this helps prevent chargebacks. Chargebacks are when the payment is refunded to the cardholder after they dispute the payment with their bank. Taking payment online before you ship your product or deliver your service does not mean that you will get to keep the money. If people don't like your product, they will do everything they can through their bank to get their money back. They can say they did not authorize the payment, they did not receive it in the post, or that the quality was not as described. Check what your card payment provider does to support you and how much transaction refunds and these disputes will cost. Then make sure you include this in your budget.
Love those cost-cutting tips. Of course, you can cut all the costs you like, but you really have to be clear on your numbers, the income, the outgoings, the margins, the profit margins, and all of those kind of good things if you're really going to use profit as a way to push your business to further successes. So here's Christian and Alison with the deets on that approach.
Hey there, I'm Christian Hansen from the Slow Fashion Company, and my top tip is, and it sounds incredibly cliche, but know your numbers. And I would have saved myself a ton of money, heartache, and confusion if I had just focused on those North Star metrics that every e-commerce founder needs to know. Even if you're not the numbers guy, the money guy, know your margins, know your customer acquisition costs, know your conversion rates, and know your customer lifetime value. Very, very key, know your return rates at all times. If all of those numbers trend positively, then you win. It's really that simple.
Know your margins. If you don't know which products are either making or losing you money, then how do you know if you have a profitable business in the future? There are many different margin stages to work through, so I find it best to start from the beginning. The first step is to work out your intake margin. To do this, you take the RRP, or planned retail price, and minus off the cost price and any other product costs such as VAT and shipping. What you have left is the profit that you'll be making on that product if you were to sell it at full price. But in reality, products are often sold at a discount, whether that be 10% off the first order or a 25% promotion to drive sales. This margin is the sales margin and tells you what a customer is willing to pay for your product. It is important to understand the relationship between the intake margin and the sales margin, as it will give you a view about how well your business is doing and what the customer is willing to pay. The next step is to look at the gross margin. This is the margin that you make once you've taken into consideration any money that you can claim back or need to pay out based on contracted terms. For example, you're receiving a cost price reduction from a supplier due to growth, or you may have to pay out money to a wholesale account to support their markdown. This is the final part of the product margin. The next step is to look at the overall profitability of the company. This is generally where your accountant or finance team will be reviewing margins. They take the gross margin and then reduce any indirect costs such as deliveries to customers, returns back into your business to work out the gross profit. The final step is to take out your overheads, also known as fixed costs, which give you the net profit. Having reviewed each part of your margin, this will give you a good indication of where you can save money and if you are spending the right amount on important areas like marketing and tech.
Okay, I know that's a bit heavy and all a little accountancy-like, but it's super important. Understanding that margin can mean different things is crucial, and understanding what those numbers are in your own business is double crucial. We're now over halfway. We've still got the awesome marketing tips section to come, but I think right now we should take a bit of a zoom out again. We just got super nitty gritty, so let's zoom out with the advice of Cunley and Janice.
My top tip really is cross-functional growth. To maximize profitability, ensure your marketing, operations, and finance teams are in complete sync. Marketing should be P&L driven and clearly categorize campaigns in short, medium, and long-term for finance clarity. Profit-focused marketing takes fewer risks compared to growth-focused marketing. So aligning your efforts towards sustainable profitability, particularly in the given economic, environment, would be really important. This approach enables better budgeting, forecasting, and resource allocation, ensuring every campaign contributes to the bottom line. Additionally, regular cross-departmental meetings can foster better communications. Quickly addressing issues and adapt strategies in real time, ultimately leading to a more agile and profitable e-commerce operation. My tip essentially is just make sure you're delivering sustainable profitability through cross-functional growth.
Hi, I'm Janice Thomas from Look Fabulous Forever, and my top tip is to provide your customers with useful and helpful content. Really think about what your customers will find valuable and not just what you want to tell them about. We do this at Look Fabulous Forever. We create makeup and skincare products for older women. And as you get older, how you apply makeup in a flattering way is completely different, as well as the products that you would use for that. So, for example, how you apply eyeliner to look great when you're 75 is completely different to the technique that you would use when you're 25. So we provide useful and helpful tutorials that show our customers exactly how to apply their eyeliner. And we don't really mind in the short term if they're still buying product from our competitors, that we would rather invest in that relationship and be useful and helpful, even if customers aren't buying our product. Our customers find our content so useful and helpful that over 85% of our customers want to receive an email from us every single day. And over 50% of those emails get opened. So you can see how investing in really great content that our customers find valuable really helps us grow our business.
Epic advice there from epic members of the UK e-commerce scene. Thank you, Conley and Janice, for that. And two epic strategic decisions within those tips. First off, don't let the siloing of teams, knowledge and data hamstring your business. Huge topic going on in theory discussions at the moment is how do we democratize the data and unsilo things. It really is essential if you really want to push things. And building trust, investing in earning your customers' trust, it is going to pay back. Hugely powerful, hard to track, but hugely powerful. Although go back and listen to James's bit earlier for more on that. Okay, we've had some equally epic marketing tips come in as well, so let's get to them, but after the ad break. Stay tuned.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Shopify recently turned the tables on me and took me from interviewer to interviewee. Knowing as they do that the most successful retailers today are those that bridge the gap between online and offline and make it a seamless experience, Shopify wanted my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, particularly in the key areas of local selling, omnichannel selling, and cross-border selling. You can read my thoughts along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify and downloading the report. That's ecmp.info/Shopify. Okay. Are you ready for the marketing tips section? These are super varied and all tips I'm a little bit jealous of because they're so spot on for what you should be doing to increase sales and lower costs and increase the impact of every marketing pound that you spend. I love these. Clearly, you're going to have to listen to this whole episode at least twice to get all the goodness out of it. But if you don't have to listen to this part twice, I want to know how you managed it, because the tips, the advice, the ideas, the inspiration about to come thick and fast with Isabella, Luke, Pat, Laura, and Anna.
Hi, I'm Isabella Russell from Music Radio Creative, and my top tip is speed. Keep an eye out on your Google Analytics and watch for the speed of your website. We have seen tremendous improvements to both traffic and conversions by simply optimizing all of the Google metrics. Watch out for the size of your website, the size of the pages. If you have audio, make sure to optimize it to be as little as possible. Convert all of the PNGs into JPEGs and make sure that they are as web-friendly as they can be. Google likes to pay attention to the speed, not only on desktop, but definitely on mobile. And that's a completely different metric altogether. So make sure your website is as well optimized for mobile experience as it can be.
Hello, my name is Luke Carthy and I am an e-commerce consultant. So my tip is one of the biggest things that I see that e-commerce brands do, and it's an easy thing to clean up, is to prevent sending buckets of paid cash to products, to items, to listings that are out of stock or unavailable. And it's a simple way to help identify this problem so that you can prevent it and, of course, save yourself hemorrhaging money that you could spend elsewhere. And really, it's as simple as bringing your stock information or your listing information, if it's unavailable or so on, into your GA4 property. So whenever someone views an item, so the view item event, bringing your stock status to that. And what that means is whenever a visitor lands on a particular listing or a product page, it will also bring in the stock status. You can then bring in your channels or your referrers or any of the information that's important to you. And then you can understand whether paid search is responsible for driving lots of traffic to items that you just don't have available. It can save you thousands. It's a really quick fix, and it's a great way to stop wasting cash, valuable cash, on things you don't need to.
Hi, my name is Patricia Caldwell. I am from True Serenity. And my top tip is always give your customers an experience and do this through effective marketing using social media marketing, publications, and usage of AI tools. How I do this is that with my every customer that purchased something from my tea business, I usually send them a postcard or something that describes on how they can use our products and also different links, QR codes, and et cetera. Also, how I use social media to market my business. What I usually do, I use creative content. I use reels. I use ads. I go live. I do many things that help to bring the experience to my customers to even learn more about my business. Also, I use publications. Make sure I do a lot of blogs. I do newsletters. I do workshops and so forth so that my customers can continue to learn about my business and about the different teas that we offer. Also, the usage of AI tools. You can use AI to bring even a greater experience to your customers. And how I do that is using AI tools such as ChatGPT to create content for my social media platforms. Also, developing like an audio newsletter so that every time my customers come to my website, they are able to download the newsletter to learn about my company and the different products that we offer.
Hi there, my name's Laura. I'm the founder of Lalo, the luxury boxed wine company. My top tip is to really think creatively about how you can do things for free that capture customers' attention before defaulting to paid media spend. We spent an entire year where we spent 90% less on marketing than we had done previously. And it taught me so much about personal brand building, about stunts, about all those attention-grabbing things that you can do that get more pairs of eyes on your brand that don't involve dipping into your marketing budget.
Hi, I'm Anna Wilson from KiaSense, and my top tip is to optimize data capture. It can cost a lot to get visitors to your website. Very few will buy in their first session. Don't rely on them remembering to come back. Try to capture their details so you can follow up with them. It doesn't need to be a pop-up a visitor sees immediately with 10% off. There isn't a one-size-fits-all. Test the format. Is it a pop-up, a full page, or a flyout? How about the timing? Should it be shown straight away, 10 seconds in, on exit? What should it look like? Does it need a product, a lifestyle image that portrays your brand? And what should the message be? An offer? A competition? A list of the benefits to signing up? Understanding the measures of success. It isn't just about the submit rate. Think quality over quantity. Lastly, your winning formula may need to be different on desktop versus mobile.
See? Told you the marketing tips were worth waiting for. How many ideas did you get out of that? I mean, like every time I revisit my script to work on this episode, I pick up something else from what those five gave us. Love it. And so much of it so accessible to anybody to do as well. Which brings us to our final tip, which is from Ben from Bowdoin. And it's just the perfect one to complete our top tips to help you make your e-commerce store more profitable. Here's Ben.
I'm Ben Dreyer. I'm the Operations and Sustainability Director at Bowden. I've been here at Bowden since we were about a £10 million business, and now we've grown to over £300 million. My top tip, you must always be evolving. Never sit back. Whenever we have sat back, we've seen our growth slow. As well as constantly changing, never do something because everyone else is doing it. Do it because it's right for your business and for your customers. And finally, avoid being a busy fool. Growing sales is very alluring, but if they are not making you margin and profit, find something that does.
I have to say, I was nervous about this topic for this episode. The focus switch to making profit front and center rather than growth at all costs is so new that I was worried people would struggle to give us the goods. As you've just heard, I need not have been worried. The answers have been brilliant. As you've just heard, these are the ones that we picked for the episode. They were the best of the best as we went through it all. I mean, it was really hard to narrow them down to try and create a nice range of things for you to hear about. Well, there are another 480 going from big picture to a super lot of practical stuff, loads of practical stuff we let stay in the ebook for you. You can get all 500 tips in our celebratory ebook at ecmp.info/500. Something that's missing from this episode, and that's my tip. What is Chloe's top tip for how to make your e-commerce store more profitable? Well, you'll find a fair few by me in the ebook, but I think the one you need to hear most right now is that success and profits come from focusing on the right things. It's a skill I call should could. It went down very well when I did it on stage at MailChimp's conference here in the UK a few weeks back. So it's definitely one you need to hear, especially because we've just given you so many ideas from all those 20 tips from our guests. The thing is, there are so many things you could be doing in your business right now, but what you need to be focusing on is the ones you should be doing, hence should, could. That's something you should be doing daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, strategically within your business, is putting things on a could list so you ignore them until later and picking the ones you're going to focus on and work on and call them your should list. Whether it's big post-it notes on a wall, whether it's a whiteboard, whether it's a Google Doc, I don't mind how you manage it, but take some time to manage it. As a starting point, take your notes from this episode and split them into a could list and a should list. What should you work on right now that you've just learned, and what can you leave on the could list to consider at a later date? In many ways, that takes us right back around to where we started with the advice of Lucy from Bearkind Socks, because it's exactly what she did to get her business back on track. She went, hold on a minute, let's take a step back and let's get really clear on what we should be doing this year versus all those many, many things we could be doing this year. Thank you so much to the team who make this podcast possible. You are all amazing. I love working with all of you, and I literally could not do this and remain sane without you guys. So thank you. Thank you to all of you for listening, because I would quite happily produce this podcast without anyone listening to it, but it's a hell of a lot more fun with all of you listening, and to be honest, a lot more profitable too. So thank you all for helping me make my business more profitable by listening to this show. And thanks to everyone who submitted their tips for the ebook. I really appreciate all you've done. I had so much fun reading through them all, and we loved pulling them together into the ebook. So thank you all so much for being a part of our episode 500 celebrations. To get your hands on the notes from this episode, including all those top tips, links to the whole episodes with each of those tipsters, and a full transcript. Yeah, you can get a full transcript of this too to help you put it into action. Just head over to ecommercemasterplan.com, or you can use our direct to episode short links. For this one, it's ecmp.info/500. Yeah, that URL I've been reading out the whole way through. Put that into the URL bar and you will go straight to the right episode page. And when you get there, don't forget to download our 500 tips ebook as well. I bring you a new episode every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners and marketers to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. And if you're one of the new listeners who's found us through this big old episode 500 shebang, then please like us, follow us, subscribe. We would love you to stick around and enjoy more of the content that we put out, because we would love to help you with your business. I hope you have a great week, and here's to the next 500.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
Don't forget to download Shopify's new industry report featuring my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain, and Italy, by visiting ecmp.info/Shopify.